continuing from the middle of Hilchas Prikadina, Halacha Beis, page 60, the left-hand column towards the bottom. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, Nimtzu she'ikar kvedas v'oil ha'parnoso humachmas kvedas hamasu shel avoinos. So therefore we see from this that the main heaviness of the yoke of parnosa comes based on the heaviness of the burden of sins that a person is carrying. V'zehu b'chinas ki sirech hamoyer soynach haroi veitz tachas masoi. This is why it says, if you'll see your friend's, your enemy's mule struggling under its burden, shekoved olav hamasoi shel mamoynoi parnasosoi, where the burden of parnosa, the yoke of parnosa, is very heavy on him, v'yeshlo yisurim u'kvedus godoil, and he's going through tremendous suffering and heaviness, v'zeh nimshach rak mimasoi hakoved shel avoynos kanal, and that's coming only from the heavy load of sins, v'zeh b'chinas soynacho. That's why the Torah labels him your enemy. Ki ein soynei elazeh shavra avera, k'mo shepir shuazal. And the Gemara says enemy means one who does sins. So because of the sins, it says ki sirach amor soynacho roivetz tachas masoi. Because he's enemy, which is defined as doing sins, therefore he's struggling under this heavy burden. Because that's the heaviest burden of all, the sins. And when a person has a heavy burden of sins, it shows itself in the heavy burden of parnosa, in what we're being shown. Rak tzrichin lazoiv milev masha osa. But rather, we have to release from our hearts any negative feelings towards what the person's done, v'lazor loy, and to help the person. K'maisha tergim unkelus, as the Targum says, Mishbak tishboik ma debelibach aloi, release what's in your heart against that person, any negativity that you have in your heart towards that person, v'tafrik imay, and help him. Now Rav Nosson Zal asks, v'lechoyre hadovor temua, there seems to be a very perplexing item here. Kibish loimo imhoyo hapirish soine kipshutoi, this I could understand if the word enemy there meant literal enemy. He hates the person because of personal reasons. Machmas riv or machloikis, they got into a fight or something like that. Or kiyotzei, hoyoshayach loimar mishbik tishboy. Then I could understand why the Targum says, get rid of your negative feelings in your heart towards him. Shetzorich limcholoy, meaning that I have to forgive him. That I'm carrying around a hate and a resentment in my heart towards this person because of things he did against me. And the Torah is saying, unload that. Unload that hate and resentment. But if based on the interpretation that the Gemara gives, that the word enemy over here doesn't mean that. It means one who did sins. Ech shayach loimar mishbek tishbek ma debeliba chaloi. How can the Targum tell me that I should release the negativity against him? I'm not the one that did it. He did it. He did the Avera. He created this burden that he's carrying on his shoulders. What can I do to make his load lighter? What should I do? Take some of his Averas and put it in my house? Ridiculous. So Rav Nosson Zal is asking, how do you make sense out of this? You understand this question? Ach be'emes al pima shemavur b'divrei Rabbeinu Zal b'kama mekoymos. However, the fact is, based on what Rabbeinu Zal says in a few chapters in Likutei Moran, shetzorich lodunes kol odom lekaf schus, that we have to judge every single Jew positively. V'tzorich limtzoi zechus afilu b'rosha gomur, and even when we see a person who's a complete rasha, we have to find good points in him. How is it possible that he didn't do a little bit of good in his lifetime? And by us discovering and bringing to light a good point in a person, Rabbeinu Zal writes that you can literally take that person out of his bad place and move him into a good place. ve'yochoy lahachziroi b'tshuva al yedei zeh. You can actually bring the person back in tshuva through that, by finding the good point in him and bringing it out. Kemuva al posuk va'oit mat vein rosho v'zboinan tal mekoymoy v'einenu. Ayin shom simen reish pei beiz. Look in chapter 282 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal quotes this posuk in Tehillim. Oid ma'at ve'ein rosho, a little droplet, and he's not a rush anymore. If you are able to identify a little drop of good in a person, then he's no longer a rusha. You'll look for him in the basket of Rishoim, and you'll see Veineno, he's not there anymore. By you having been able to discover this drop of good in him, you literally took him out of the classification of Rishoim and gave him, you reclassified him. New classification completely. Vizehu inyan amal, and this is tied into what we're saying over here. She'afal pi shehu soinacha, even though this guy is your enemy, meaning she'ro'iso isoy oivra aveiro, you saw him do sins. Afal pi kein al timna milazerloi, still you have no right to refrain from helping him. Rak adara, but just the opposite. Mishbak tishboik mada belibach alohi. Remove what's in your heart towards this person. Remove the negative feelings. Ki ato tzorich limtzoy lo yischus. You must find in him good points. Ularachim olav, and to take pity on him. Vilimchoy loy, and to forgive him. Ki al yidei shemoytzei bo yischus. Because if a Jew finds a schus in a second Jew, machnisoy be'emes lekav schus, you can literally bring that person into kav schus, umachziroy b'tshuva, and you can actually get him to do tshuva. Nimtza, so we see from this, sheyesh koyach biyad kol echot miYisrael limchoil avoynois chaveroy. Each and every single Jew has the ability to forgive his friend's sins. Because by you finding a good point in that person, you can literally put him into Gan Eden. You can literally put him in the side of good. V'alkein, therefore, if a Jew, if Reuven sees Shimon having suffering on the road, he's standing in the middle of the road with his mule and he's struggling. His mule is struggling under the weight of its burden. And the heaviness of this burden is based on the heaviness of sin, as we learned earlier. The struggle that this person is going through for parnosa, walking with this donkey loaded with the furs and the rugs and everything, is based on the heavy weight of sins. Reuven is mechuyev to take pity on Shimon, v'limchoyloi, and to forgive him. Dahainu limtzoyloi schus, to find an akudatoiv on that person, ulahachnisa lekaschus kanal, and literally bring him to the side of good. Shezehu ikra harachmonis, that's the real taking pity on a Jew. V'lazorloi lefaroi kamasoi, and thereby help him unload his heavy load, get rid of his sins. And through this act of a Jew letting go of that hate, that natural hate that a Jew feels when he sees another guy, another Jew committing a sin, he takes pity on him, and he shines kindness into that person, because he has searched for and found a zechus in that person. By doing that, you will literally transfer that person into zchus, and you will literally be able to strip away from him some of this heavy burden of sins that he's carrying. And by doing that, you get him to literally remove some of that heavy burden. Ki iker kvedus hamasui hu machmas hamasui shelovin kanam, because the main reason why a Jew experiences physical heaviness, whether it be on himself or on his mule or whatever it is, is because of the heavy burden of sins that he's carrying, which manifests itself in the physical experiences that he goes through. ki be'emes ikar mitzvah zu shel prikotino hu bishvil avov rachmonis. Because Rav Nosson Zal explains the real concept behind this mitzvah of prikotino, helping a Jew with his burden, is out of love and pity for a Jew. That's what it's all about. As the Gemara darshins on this pasuk, that Hashem has given us such righteous mitzvahs which can lead us to love each other and help each other. And this is the example. Because the Gemara says, could you ever have a case of an enemy who sees his enemy come over to him and help him with his mule or something, and he won't end up hugging that guy and kissing him for the fact that the guy is so nice to him that even though he's his enemy, he's coming over to help him, and that alone will make them into friends again. That'll turn them into friends. Ki ikar hamitzvah kedei lefarek hamasui shelovoim. Because the main mitzvah here is to be able to remove that heavy burden of sin, sheze nase al yedei ho'ahavo v'horachmonis kanal, which is accomplished through the love and pity that his fellow Jew takes on him. Baruch Hashem li'olam, amen v'amen. In other words, Rav Nosson Zal showing that we say when a Jew normally sees another Jew, he told us a few very important pieces of information here. Number one, if you see a person experiencing physical heaviness, whether it be on himself, or his car is loaded down with stuff, with any kind of heavy load in a negative way, where it's causing problems to the person, that's a reflection of what's going on with that person spiritually. It's a reflection that the person has a lot of averois. And averois are called heaviness in the Torah, heavy burden. And it's manifesting itself in the heaviness that you're seeing about this person, especially related to Parnosa. Rav Nosson Zal brought proof from Psukim, the connection between Das and Parnosa, and the connection between sins and being lack of Das, and therefore sins being lack of Parnosa, the heaviness of Parnosa in some cases. So therefore Rav Nosson Zal says, when you see this person, you're identifying him as Rasha. Right? He's done sins and everything. Now, what's your response supposed to be? And the Torah says, and your natural reaction is going to want to be to look away from him, because who wants to get involved with a Russia? The Torah says, no. The Targum says, get rid of any negative feelings in your heart towards that person, but rather, arouse positive feelings. Look for the good in that person. Identify good. Once you'll identify good, you'll literally convert him from Rosho to Tzaddik. Your limud zchus on him will literally turn him over to the side of good. And it'll give him the ability to do tshuva. He'll do tshuva, his burden will be lightened. He'll get rid of his sins, his burden will be lightened both physically and spiritually. Now the question is, what does that take? That takes incredible love. That takes Ahavas Yisrael. Person who knows how much Hashem wants us to love every Jew, including the Russia, including the Choyte, and instead of feeling a negative feeling towards that person, the person arouses a love. When that other guy who's carrying this heavy load sees you coming over him to help him, when the Chiloni sees the Haredi coming over to help him, or acting with a kindness towards him, or something like that, he wants to hug him and kiss him, because he sees that rather than this guy looking down at me for the 4,000 legitimate reasons he has to look down at me, because I don't keep Shabbos and I eat chazer and I do this, rather than him look down on me, he's judge me to be a nothing, a zero. Rather than that, he's judging me to be a something. He's finding something good in me. He's saying I am a Jew and I deserve to be helped. And coming over in that way, when the person does that, that gets the Chiloni to do tshuva. That gets him to feel an Ahavas Yisrael towards the other person and to do tshuva, and thereby literally make lighter his load. Literally, bizarcha to unload, you know, a lot of his sins.
So, Jeremy, what if it's something that you don't like, not because you have any legitimate reason for that language, like you use, like you don't like the way he looks, or you don't like the way he holds himself, you don't like, nothing really legitimate, but like, I don't know about this, but like I'll see someone I never met, but just by looking at me, I don't want to know.
The answer is that the Torah doesn't really make an allowance for that if it's a Jew. If it's a Jew, there's a mitzvah of Yohavta L'Reach or Kamoicha, there's a mitzvah to love, and that doesn't mean it comes natural. The fact that Hashem said to do it makes it difficult. There's a Gemara that says Mayim Genu, there's a pasuk that says Mayim Genuvim Yumtaku. Stolen waters are sweet, meaning the fact that Hashem said not to work on Shabbos is what makes working on Shabbos so attractive. When someone says don't, it becomes stolen goods. Stolen goods people are attracted to. When Hashem says love every Jew, suddenly people find 4 billion excuses why it's a mitzvah to bury that guy, to steal from him, bury him, curse him out, you know, everything. And we have to know that those of us that want to be religious and especially follow Rabbi Nizal's teachings,
you're supposed to like feel an ava towards the person and try and help him. That'll make him do tshuva. But if the guy doesn't have anything to really do tshuva on that you know of, it's just something that's within you that you have to work on.
So then for sure the person has to work on it. For sure a person has to look to improve him, his own midos, you know, in terms of a willingness to help other people, etc.
This example that you gave before about the he sees that this hill and he needs help and he goes and helps him. Let's say it's mantra, well, if this doesn't happen as often as it is, sure. Because if it did, there'd be so much more of a power in the tshuva movement. But I see a lot of people, it's like, you know, you're doing wrong. It's like, you know, they scoff at you, like, say, like, oh, you know, it's like, where did this filth come from? Like, get it out of here. And it's like, hey, wait a second. This guy's a Jew, okay, so he doesn't give Shabbos, you know, he eats chazer, he eats chatz for shalom, he does all these things. But that does not mean that this person, because he dresses the part, it's like, one of my rabbis once said, just because the person dresses the part doesn't mean anything. It's what he's got in his mind and his heart. That's what counts. A person could look completely religious and go around and beating up every chilani that he sees along the way. Why? Because he doesn't know any better, maybe.
When Rabbi Nizal said this chapter on the Likutei Moran that we're quoting, this Reish Pei Beis, Rabbi Nizal said to Rav Nosson Zal, you think this is going to be easy? You think this thing about finding good in every good point is going to be easy? I'll prove to you how not easy it is, because if I tell you that by doing that, you can actually change the person from Russia, from Kaf Choy to Kaf Schus, you know what kind of jump that is? You know, it's an incredible jump. Therefore, you have to imagine that this isn't going to be an easy thing to do.
Is this something that has to be something personal? In other words, if you know this person personally and try to help them, or just let's see, walking down Rehov Yafi, you see, you know, a guy in Shabbos walking to a trade restaurant, you know, having some kind of kashrus for him, and you know,
to feel a rachmonis on him, to feel a pity on him, literally a pity. He deserves to get beat over the head. How do you know? Maybe if he would have grown up in your house with your frum parents and you're a shaman, this, that, he'd be 50 times more religious than you and me put together. Probably, the only reason he's going to that restaurant is because he doesn't know better. Who told him and who, you know?
There was a story that I heard. I don't remember where it is, but I do remember the story that this Jew was seen one time in a restaurant eating pork. And somebody was like, you know, they were going nuts. I said, what's this religious guy in a restaurant eating pork for? What's going on here? So he spoke to his rabbi about it. And the guy said, look, you should have kashrus on the guy. Who knows what his story was? So afterwards, the guy left the restaurant. I don't remember exactly the story, only just the basic idea. He said, hey, what is this? You know, you're a firm kid. And see you in a restaurant. He says, I've got a physical problem. I have some physical ailment. I have to eat meat at certain times. This time, there was no other restaurant available. There's no kosher places around. If I didn't get something to eat right then and there, I would have ended up in the hospital, possibly even dead. Mm-hmm. So it was a life or death situation. Mm-hmm. So the guy in that circumstance,
There's a story with Rav Nosson Zal that's written that there was somebody that once, there was a person in Uman or in Breslov, you know, the city where he was at the time, that this person was known to, he was a writer, and Machal Shabbos Befar Hesi, he wrote on Shabbos. And one time he came into the shul, he came into the Breslov Shul on Shabbos, and he had ink on his hands, fresh ink. You know, from what, again, they didn't have pocket pens like today, or pens. Then, whenever you wrote, it showed on your hands. This person came into Shul on Epis, they were doing a writ. Somehow, this person picked up his hand, and Rav Nosson Zal saw it, and Rav Nosson Zal made a comment, look, with such a beautiful hand, he's serving Hashem. Epis, they were going a rikid, and he pulled him into the rikid, and he said, look, with such a beautiful hand, he's serving Hashem. You know, and he saw, he was looking at the ink on the guy's hand from that morning. The guy had written on Shabbos. And the person changed. You know, the person came around, started coming around, and became frum. And somebody told this to me recently and said, try to picture somebody walking into Breslov Shul today with ink all over his hand, you know, with a typewriter in his hands or something, you know, and would they take him into the rickety, or would some people throw him out and, you know, start yelling at him, you know? This is we were shown the example by Rav Nosson Zal that there are very, very, very few cases where you're allowed to do different from what it says here.
We learned at the beginning of this halacha also where you have to be very careful who you
Makariv.
Right.
Also true, an additional issue.
But you're saying, so being Makariv is one thing, being Damakasus on every Jew is another.
Yes.
So if I see Teddy, I say, oh, look what he's done, he's helped rebuild.
He's not a Mayim.
And I mean, seriously, I mean, at what point do you...
The answer is, you look, I can only tell you what I do.
He's not a Jew.
Is I look to Tzadikim to watch them. I don't know if I mentioned this before, I once had the fabulous privilege of going to the Kosel once during the week in the afternoon with one of the Zakenim of Breslov. And it was at the time that they were having one of these tekeses for the army there. You know, they had a few hundred soldiers, you know, around the Kotel area, paratroopers or whatever it is, they were doing one of their things and they were hanging out over there. And he walked past them and he looked at them. He looked at them for a minute or two and then he walked inside the Kosel, you know, in the wall. And he started talking for about 30 minutes straight about, look how some people would walk by here and look at them and go like, yuck, you know, I wish they weren't here, I wish they were, you know, I wish we could get rid of this vermin and stuff. But the truth is, every single one of them is a diamond. Every single one of them is Mesiras Nefesh. Guys are holding guns, prepared to use it, prepared to die for Am Yisrael. Forget what other things are in their minds, Zionism, this, that. The fact is that to defend Jewish lives, this guy's holding a gun where he might shoot himself with the gun or he might get shot, you know, all the different possibilities. And again, and he said, the ones that don't have yarmulkes, you think it's their fault, you think they went to yeshivas. Is one of these guys here a mumar lahachis? One of these guys here is a guy who was raised in a frum home and said, no, I don't want the gemara, and he became... That's not who these guys are. These are guys who grew up in places where there was no frumkeit and anti-frumkeit. Who could say a bad word about it? Who could say something bad about that? And to me, this was a tremendous education. And this person commented that the majority of frum people that'll walk by here and see them will say something nasty or be disgusted by them. And that's not how we feel. We're not disgusted by them. The same way.
Your own load of erot, I mean...
The answer is, same way, you have to be melamed zchus on yourself. Rabbeinu Zal said, a Jew, the same way you have an obligation to be melamed zchus on other Jews, a Jew is obligated to be melamed zchus on himself. He's not allowed to call himself a Rosh HaGomor, and he must find good, and the more he's able to find good points in himself, the more he's going to do more tshuva, the more he's going to get better and better. And the more he looks to find negative in himself, the less tshuva he's going to do, the less motivation he's going to have, and the less positive he's going to have. In Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Prika Uteina, Halacha Dalet, page Samach Aleph in Likutei Halachos, the left-hand column. Rav Nosson Zal always, in the first paragraph, shows you which part of Likutei Moran he's basing this on. So he says, Al Pimashe Kosuv Belikute Tanino Simen Beis. This is based on what's written in the second half of Likute Moran, chapter 2. Bahatoira Yemei Chanukah Heim Yemei Hoido. In the chapter on Likute Moran that's entitled that the days of Chanukah are days of giving praise to Hashem. And in that chapter on Likute Moran, Rabbeinu Zal says the following: Shetzrichim Lahamshich Kedushas Shabbos L'Sheisha Simei Achoil. A Jew has a mitzvah to draw the holiness of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. Now, we know there's a number of ways of doing that. Number one, by adding part of Friday to Shabbos, being mekabel Shabbos early, by making Shabbos end late, so you're adding part of Sunday to Shabbos. That's one way of doing it. Another way is that when you do your shopping during the weekdays, from Sunday, you're already looking out for good things for Shabbos. You know, the Gemara talks about Shammai and Hillel, the different ways they went about it. But there is this concept in Yiddishkeit of bringing Shabbos into the weekdays. Shabbos represents Simcha. The weekdays generally represent Atzvus, Avoidah, Eved. Eved is a concept of Atzvus, sadness or sleep. Shabbos is a concept of being more happy and alert. And there's a mitzvah to bring Shabbos into the weekdays. Ki Shabbos bechinas ben. Shabbos is the concept of a son, S-O-N, bechinas naicho le'iloin v'tatoin. It symbolizes rest to those who are above and those who are below. Rest in heaven and rest on earth. V'me ha'choil, we're going to explain this when we go over the Likutei Moran on this in a minute. V'me ha'choil, heim bechinas eved, whereas the 6 days of the week represent slavery. Sheshes yomim ta'avoid, it says in the Chumash, that it's 6 days of eved, va'atzvus, and depression. Utzrichen lahamshich hamenucha va'simcha shel Shabbos l'imei achoil. A Jew has to see to it to draw the rest and the joy of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. Va'idezeh nizgale achtus ha'poshut yizborach, and that's how he reveals the oneness of Hashem. Shekol ha'pa'ulois mishtanois nimshochem mi'echod ha'poshut yizborach. That all the different things in this world all originate from one, from the oneness of Hashem. Shezeh i'efsher lohovin b'sechel enoishi. This concept is something that's impossible for the human mind to understand. You can't tell me how it's possible to take a piece of copper, let's say, and make from it 10 different kinds of metal, or 10 different kinds of soup. I'm going to take a piece of copper and make from it chicken soup and apple soup and baloney, ridiculous. And yet we say that Hashem is one, Hashem Echod, and Hashem is Achdus HaPoshit. Hashem is the epitome of oneness. And yet, from Hashem comes infinite number of different things that all come from Hashem. Animals, trees, you know, all kinds of different things that are called pe'ulais mishtanois, different creations in a sense. The only way that we could understand that is kiyum al yedei emuna, is with faith. Shenimshach al yedei Shabbos, which a person draws upon himself through Shabbos. Shabbos is the foundation of faith. Al yedei shemamshichem hakedusha v'hasimcha shel Shabbos l'sheishes me'achoyel. Through a Jew drawing the kedusha of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week, that's what will give him the ability to believe in the oneness of Hashem, and in that all the different things in creation come from the oneness of Hashem. V'zeh b'chinas yochid v'rabim halocha k'rabim. This is the concept where we have a rule in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch, that when there's a debate between one opinion, one person, versus a number of people, we follow the number, we follow the rabbim. Ki kisherabim maskimim ledas echod, because when you have several people agreeing on one item, agreeing to one opinion, ze bechinas shepeulois mishtanois nichlolem biechod aposhut. That represents this concept of a variety becoming unified, a number of different things becoming one. Sheze yokor ma'oid lifnei Hashem Yisborach. This is something that's very precious to Hashem. When a number of different ones become unified, become one. Ayin Shom, look in this chapter of Likutei Moran, because this is going to serve as the introduction for our discussion. What I'd like to do is read literally two paragraphs from this chapter in Likutei Moran to give a clear definition to these two statements. Pe'ulois mishtanois, becoming part of the Achdus HaPoshut, That's one concept which Rabbeinu Zal discusses, reveals, and explains. And the other issue, the Shabbos, the son versus the slave, that issue. Because Rabbeinu Zal told a story, one of his 13 stories is the story of the son and the servant that got converted, the Ben Melech and Ben Shivcha Shenechlefu. And this is a concept that originates in the Zohar HaKadosh. We say it on Rosh Hashanah. In the Shmoneh Esrei, we say, Im Kibonim, Im Ka'avodim. Hashem, if we're like children to you, or we're like servants to you, Rachmeinu Kirachim Ov Albonim. Take pity on us, like a father takes pity on his children. And the Zohar HaKadosh discusses this concept of Ben versus Eved. That this is a concept in Yiddishkeit. By Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem calls him Eved. Moshe Avdi. Bechol Beisinemon Hu. And Rabbeinu Zal discusses the concept of tzaddikim who are compared to children of Hashem, or tzaddikim who are compared to servants of Hashem. And then there's the tzaddik who is benoi ho'oivei doisoi. There are certain tzaddikim that combine both. They have the qualities of a son and a servant. Because, for example, Rabbeinu Zal says there are certain things that a prince could never do. A prince can't roll in the mud for his daddy because he's a prince. He's wearing royal garments. And yet the Torah speaks about benoi ho'oivei doisoi, that there are certain tzaddikim who, despite the fact that they represent the epitome of royalty, they're willing to roll in the mud for Hashem. In other words, to lower themselves, to do things that only a slave could do or a servant could do, to bring kavod to Hashem. Let's see it in Likutei Moran. I'm quoting now from the middle of paragraph Hey. In this chapter in Likutei Moran, Torah Beis and Likutei Moran Tanina, Rabbeinu Zal says that through Shlemus, Loshna Kodesh, a person is zeicha to draw the Simcha of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. He talks about Shlemus, Loshna Kodesh first a little bit. And then he says, Ki Yemei HaChoel Heim Bechinas Atzvus. The 6 days of the week represent sadness, depression. That doesn't mean that a Jew's allowed to be depressed during the 6 days of the week. But it means that there's a certain norm on foot. That the fact that the 6 days of the week represent work days, it's easier for a person to be plugged in chas v'shalom ta'atzvus than it is to be plugged into simcha. Vafilu ha-mitzvois she'oisim b'imei ha-choil heim b'chinas atzvus. Even the mitzvois that a Jew performs during the 6 days of the week are in this category called Atzvus, a lower level classification. Ki malach memtes shultenosei bimei achoil. Because the Zohar HaKadosh discusses the concept, kavyochol, there's Hashem, who rules over everything, and then there's kavyochol, Hashem's second in command. The chief angel in heaven is called the malach memtes. His name is memtes-tes reish vov nun. He's called the Reish Mesifta, the Rosh Yeshiva of the second highest yeshiva in heaven. Hashem himself is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mesifta Ilah, the highest yeshiva in heaven. This angel is the Rosh Yeshiva of the next level yeshiva. And this Rosh Yeshiva, this Malach Memtes, is compared to the, it's written that in Hashem's yeshiva, there's only one opinion. There's only the halacha lemaisa, kosher, trey, whatever it is. In the Malach Memtes's yeshiva, it's like in our Mishnah. In Mishnais, there's Shisha Sidre Mishnah. There's six sections of Mishnah corresponding to six different types of opinions. There's kosher posel, tomei tohor, osur mutter. Those are the basic classifications of Machlokes in the Mishnah. Machlokes means lack of oneness. In Mishnah, we have the Tanakhama says this and Rabbi Yossi says this. The Tanakhama says this and Rabbi Yehuda says this, right? There's a lot of Machlokes. The Shisha Sidre Mishnah corresponds to the 6 days of the week. Corresponds to this angel who is called the Malach Memtes, who is Chanoich in actuality. It's brought that the Tzaddik Chanoich was taken off the world before his time, in a sense, and he was made a chief angel in heaven, this Malach Memtes. Now there's a pasuk that says chanoich lanar al pi darkoi. There's a pasuk that says teach a child based on his level. The Zohar HaKadosh says that this angel, the Malach Memtes, who was really chanoich in the beginning, is called na'ar. The word na'ar means youth, and the word na'ar also means servant. There's a pasuk when Yonason was supposed to meet Dovid HaMelech. Remember, they were meeting in secret, and he told him, I'm going to give you a signal to know whether it's safe for you to come around to my father's house or not. I'm going to shoot the arrow, and then I'll send my nar. If I tell him that the arrows are ahead of you, then it means get lost. Run for your life, because my daddy wants to kill you. Shlomo HaMelech wants to kill you. If I tell him that the arrows are between me and him, then it means it's safe for you to come around. The word nar is used many times to mean eved, servant. So the malach chanoich, this malach memtes, is called eved nar, which is synonymous with eved. By Yehoshua, it says he was Moshe Rabbeinu's nar. He was nar mishores Moshe. He was a servant, in a sense, to Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, Eved represents the 6 days of the week, as the Pasuk says, Sheshes Yomim Tavoid. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that during the 6 days of the week, this angel is in charge. Kaviyachol. It's as if Hashem lets him have the reins to run the show during the 6 days of the week. This is Malach Memtes. On Shabbos, Kaviyachol Hashem himself takes over, and Hashem runs everything, you know, openly. There's more Hashkocha Prot. Hashem is more visible. It's a higher level running of the world. This is this concept of Eved, of Eved related to the Malach Memtes.
Isn't that kind of like, you have the concept of Shabbos, that Hashem also follows by the rules and also, you know, works during the whole, and on Shabbos, so it takes
rest,
but just leaves enough going to keep, you know, keep everything from disappearing. So we see that Hashem's not really interacting during the week and only during Shabbos?
Not literally. Meaning that Kaviyochol, the presence of Hashem during the week, is hidden behind this facade of this Malach. Because in fact it's brought that this Malach carries Hashem's name. This angel's name, Memtestes Reish Vav Nun, is exactly Bigimatria Shakai, Hashem's name Shin Dalad Yud, which also represents Yesoid, which is the sixth one of the spheroids. There's a lot of depth to it. That's the 6 days of the week, which are Bechinas Eved, Malach Memtes, Avol Shabbos, Hu Bechinas Ben, whereas Shabbos is referred to as the child, the son. Ve'oz Naicho Li'ilon V'tatoin. On Shabbos, there's rest below and above. V'nis oirer simcha, and happiness is aroused. V'azai nisroi mimim v'nisalin kol ha-mitzvot shel sheishes yimei ha-choil. And on Shabbos, all the mitzvot that the Jew did during the 6 days of the week, which were stuck in this atzvos in a sense, on Shabbos they go up, they're able to take off. V'nim shach aleihem menucha v'simcha. And there is drawn on those mitzvos happiness and restfulness. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, vayoled bein, that Noach's father gave birth to a son, it says, vayikro shemoi Noach, and he called him Noach, lemer saying, ze yinachamenu mimaseinu umeitzvon yodeinu. This one is going to console us from our action, from our work. Maaseinu is work. Sheishes yemei ha-maiseh. Umeitzvon yodeinu, and from our depression, because Noach was born at a time when there was a lot of suffering in the world at the time. So, huh? The Rishonim, all the Rishonim at that time. That's why Hashem was going to bring the flood at that time. Hainu, Bechinas Shabbos, Shehu Bechinas Ben, Bechinas Noach, Naicho Dilon v'tatoim. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Noach means Miloshin Menucha, to rest. So Noach represents Shabbos. And it says, Eile toildois Noach, Noach. It says Noach twice in the Torah, referring to a rest in heaven, a rest above, and a rest below. And by Noach, it calls him Ben. He's this Bechinas Ben, which is the opposite of Eved. Sheishes Yomim Tavoid. The 6 days of the week are called Eved. Shabbos is called Ben. Shehu menachem u'misameach hakoil min ha'atzvus. This child noyach, which represents Shabbos, that's the consolation. Everybody's consolation after going through a whole week of hard work is that Shabbos is coming. There'll be simcha, there'll be menucha, period. This is the first piece of Likutei Moran that I wanted to quote to show the how Rabbeinu Zal presents Shabbos versus the 6 days of the week, Atzvus versus Simcha, Eved versus Ben, Malach Memtes versus Hashem Kaviyachol. That's one set of relationships. Now, in the next paragraph, paragraph Vov, Rabbeinu Zal says, Vaydeze shemamshichim kedusha shel Shabbos l'sheish yisimei achoel. When a Jew is zeichet to draw the holiness of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week, that's how he really reveals the oneness of Hashem. And now Rabbi Nezal explains this. The 6 days of the week represent different things, different all kinds of differences. Shebechol yoim nivra pu'ula mishuna. We see that during the 6 days of the week, 6 days of creation, every single day Hashem created something else. One day He created light, one day He created animals, one day He created trees. The Torah shows that there was a lot of different things happening during the 6 days of creation. This goes against the rules of human intellect to be able to understand this. How it's possible for all kinds of different things to come from one, from oneness. We gave the example to take a piece of metal, take a piece of steel and produce from it fruit and vegetables and trees and cloth. Impossible. Ridiculous. And Kaviyochel, Hashem is the epitome of oneness. Hashem Echod, Ushmo Echod. We say that by Hashem there's no concept of anything other than one. And yet from Hashem came everything in the world.
I mean, you could go a step farther. I mean, with not as much, but two human beings. From them, you produce a male and a female.
Ta-da! Two human beings, not one. Show me how from one you can make several. Go ahead.
You've got one thing as another being included.
Exactly. But by Hashem, you can't escape the fact that Hashem is described as one. The epitome of oneness. There's no two in Hashem. There's no kaviyochel in a human being. There's blood and plasma and flesh and nerves. By Hashem, it's all one. Lahavdil, like a piece of metal or like a piece of wood. What is it? It's wood. It's nothing else. From a piece of wood, can you make chicken soup and this soup and lakshin kugel? No, you can't. And from Hashem, you can make lakshin kugel, chicken soup. Kaviyachol, you know, all the different things that Hashem created.
From wood you can make standards, tables, chairs.
So what? It's still it's one. It's the wood.
So we even by Hashem. But we're still we have that nefesh.
But one second. Ki b'seichel enoishi ef shelohovin zois. It's impossible for the human mind to rationalize how something that's 100% one can make all kinds of different things from it. Again, to make a table, you need the metal and the this.
You don't always have to have.
So you can have an all wood table. Fine, but that's not what Hashem did. Hashem created fire and water and trees and animals and put things that are totally different. There, it's not different. The wooden table is the same as the wooden tree. It's the similar. By Hashem, we're talking about a oneness from which there came things that are totally opposite and dissimilar, 1,000,000,000% different. Rak al yedei Shabbos. It's only through the concept of Shabbos is what reveals the oneness of Hashem. ki Shabbos moire al emuna sayichud. The mitzvah of Shabbos, a Jew who keeps Shabbos, shows that they believe in Hashem, in the unity of Hashem. We believe 100% that all the different things come from Hashem, come from one. Hashem created everything in the 6 days of the week and rested on Shabbos. Nimtza, Shaydei Shabbos, Nizgale, Achdus HaPoshit Yisborach. By keeping Shabbos, you're showing that you acknowledge that everything in the 6 days of the week, all of those different things that Hashem created during the 6 days of the week, all originate from the one Hashem who is represented by Shabbos, that one day. V'hizgalus achdus haposhut zois habechino yikora ma'oid afilu etzlo yisborach. And this concept of revealing the oneness, bringing out oneness or unity, is something that's very special even to Hashem himself. K'moy shematzinu, as we find in the Gemara, this concept of yochid v'rabim halocha karabim. That if you have a big, big, big tzaddik, Rabbi Akiva, or another big tzaddik, and you have a group of rabbis disagreeing with him, the halocha is like the group. Why? Ki machmas shehem rabim, because they are many. Shekol echod yesh boi deya mishuna, where each one of them naturally thinks differently. They're not identical. They don't think the same way. Bechinas pulois mishtanois, they represent different creations. Ukishehem maskimim yachad ledas echod, and when they're able to unify on something, when they're able to agree on something, that's a concept of a bunch of different things becoming one opinion, becoming unified on an issue. This is something, this concept of different things becoming unified is something that's very precious by Hashem. V'alkein halocha kemoisom. That's why the Torah says that the halacha is like them, because the fact that they were able to do this, to take a bunch of different thinking people and unify, you know, become one on an item, that's something that Hashem loves. V'gam kidei shaloi laharbois machloikes b'Yisrael. Another reason why Hashem declares that the halacha is like them is so that there shouldn't be a lot of machloikes in Klal Yisrael. Kiem loikein, because if we wouldn't have this rule established of yochid v'rabim halocha karabim, kol yochid v'yochid yomer kedatoi, each and every person will have his own opinion, ve'im l'dovar soif, and it'll be unlimited. You won't be able to control anything. V'yisrabu machloikes b'Yisrael, and then there'll end up being a lot of divisiveness among Klal Yisrael. She'ein ze ritzoni yisporach, that's not what Hashem wants. Ki ritzoni rak bebechinas achdus haposhut, because what Hashem wants is oneness, simple oneness. Ki kishenizgala bechinas achdus haposhut lamato, because when oneness is achieved on earth, gam lemalo nizgala achdus haposhut yisporach, in heaven also it creates a oneness. Bebechinas ato echod v'shimcho echod umi kamcha Yisrael goy echod boretz. You Hashem are one, your name is one, and who is like your nation, one nation in the world? Which means shaydei achdus shenizgala b'Yisrael lamato nizgala achdus ha'poshet Yisborach lamala. To the extent that unity is achieved here on earth below among Klal Yisrael, relative to that, there's a unity achieved above between Hashem and the Shekhinah, between Hashem's chesed, and between all of the things that could appear to be lack disunity above, Yud Kevavki and Elokim, Midas HaChesed and Midas HaDin, that becomes one when there's, to the extent that there's oneness achieved below on earth.
If Hashem wanted oneness, then why did He create?
Good question. Here's a question.
Because He knows that, man. Because He knew in advance that if He was to create, He knows that it was going to be not only 2, but 2 million. Even though it would be a struggle and everything like that.
If Hashem wanted oneness, why did he create two? You want? The answer is what? The answer is because one is not as beautiful as two that become one. One, yellow, is not as beautiful as when green and white blend together, you know, the two that, and form the yellow.
But Hashem could have created something that would have been more likely to come together than man and creation and everything else.
Or fire and water, exactly.
He could have created something that would have been two and come right together and made one.
That's what he wanted. There's a chapter on Likutei Moran, Torah Nun Aleph, where Rabbeinu Zal is going to show that Hashem's intent, when he created the world, in the beginning there was only Hashem. There was all one. Then Hashem created the world. Hashem made the creation. So there became two, Hashem and the Bria. Adam Arishon's mission was to make from two one, to take the Bria and unify it with Hashem. If he would have done what he was supposed to do, if Adam Arishon would have listened to Hashem in the simple instructions he was given in the beginning, not eating from the Eitz Hadas, waiting with his zivug, he would have immediately reunified the creation with Hashem, and everything would have had its ticking. The fact that he didn't is what caused this gap to widen. Every time a sin is done, it widens the gap between the creation and Hashem. I don't want to go into this a lot now because it's not our topic. There's a Torah in the Likutei Moran, Torah Nun Aleph, Omar Rabbi Akiva, which we quoted once before. We had a little bit about it, about the concept of Echod versus Tohar and Tomei, how that concept originated. And we're going to have a lot of that in Likutei Halachos. For now, I want to stick to the part of this that we need to relate to this halacha. We're aware that there is a concept of Achdus HaPoshut, the oneness, the simple oneness of Hashem. There is a concept of Pu'ulois Mishtanois, all kinds of different things. And the thing that Hashem loves most is when Pu'ulois Mishtanois are able to unify and become part of the Achdus HaPoshut. And that's related to the 6 days of the week serving the Shabbos. The Pulis Mishtanois serving and becoming merged into the Shabbos, or Shabbos being stretched over the 6 days of the week. Let this serve as enough of an introduction. Let's go into the Likutei Halachos. Veze Bechinas, now we're starting paragraph base in this halacha Likutei Halachos. Veze Bechinas, Ma Shehizir Biyoiser, Eitzel Mitzvahs Ozoiv Tazoiv. This is why, when the Torah discusses this mitzvah, that if you see a person struggling with his burden, or his mule is carrying a heavy load on it, and it can't manage it, the mitzvah was that you go over and help him with his burden, or go over and help him unload the mule, or load the mule, whatever it is. And we said that the Targum says over there, Sheyazoiv hasino shebeliboy al chaveroi, this applies even to your enemy, even if you see a Russia. You're supposed to go over and help him in that manner. That you should eliminate the hate, the negative feeling that you have in your heart towards that person, the yifroik imoy, and help him with unloading his animal. Kamaisha kosuv, as it says over there in the Chumash, kisire chamoyer soynacho, roiveitz tachas masoi, if you will see the mule of your enemy crumbling under its heavy burden, v'chodalto me'azoiv loy, and the thought will occur to you to abstain from helping him, ozoiv ta'azoiv imoy, go over and help him, v'targumoy, and the Targum says, mishbak tishbak madebeliboch alohi, eliminate what's in your heart towards this person, get rid of that hate in your heart, v'tif utefarek imei, and help him unload his animal. The Chen Omer Azal B'Gemara, and the Gemara on this pasuk says the same thing. Kize Iker Mitzvahs Prikotina. The main mitzvah of Prikotina in the Chumash is when you're dealing with somebody who's not a friend, where you have justification, supposedly, for not helping that person, and you go against your logic and reason, and you go over and show love and friendship to that person, and you make them into a friend by helping them, you cause them to eliminate this negativity, that's the Ikar Mitzvah of Prika and Tina, as it's called in Shulchan Aruch. Now, Rav Nosson Zal begins to explain. Ki ikar kol ha'isurim sheyesh lo'odom mikredas hamasui, because the main suffering that people experience from their heavy burdens, ha'koil nimshach al-idei pigam b'china sanal, is all caused based on a defect in this concept that we mentioned earlier. Dehainu, sheloi zocho lekasher koroi kol ha'pu'ulois mishtanois la'achdus ha'poshut. Through the fact that this person hasn't succeeded in merging together all the different things with the oneness of Hashem. Because the person hasn't been zeicha to draw the holiness of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. And he's going to explain all of this. Just be patient. Rav Nosson Zal has a lot to say here. Watch him explain. Ki kol ha'isurim sheyesh lodom, because all the suffering that people have, beguf vonefesh, whether it be umamoin, rachmona litzlon, whether it be related to the body, whether it be related to the neshama, whether it be related to a person's parnas or possessions, kulam hein bechinas masois, it's all symbolized by this concept of burdens. They're carrying a burden, a heavy load. Ki ha'isurim hein keneged resoinoi, because usually suffering is something is against a person's will. It's not what he wants. You have examples in the Gemara in Brachas where the Gemara says that a rabbi was sick and his friend came to visit him, and the one that was visiting said to him, Chaviven alech Yisurim, do you like this suffering? So the rabbi said, no, I don't like this suffering. So the Gemara says he extended his hand to him, he gave him his hand, and he lifted him out of his bed, he lifted him out of his illness. So we see that generally, usually, Yisurim, suffering, is something that's against a person's will. It's not what they want. V'heim kimasui kved olav, and it's like a heavy burden on the person. V'chulam heim ebechinas pe'ulois mishtanois, and all suffering comes from this concept of pe'ulois mishtanois. K'she'enoi mishtadel legaloi selohor bohem bechinas achdus ha'poshut. When a Jew is not zoiche to show how all of the pulois mishtanois come from achdus haposhut, that's what causes the suffering. She'oz mizgabrim ribui hashinuyim, because what happens then is all of these differences start making problems for the person. Ve'enam misnagim keseder horoy lohem misharoshon. And they don't follow the pattern that they're supposed to follow based on where they originate from. Meaning that they all come from Hashem. Shemishom kol kvedas hamasois v'chol ha'isurim chasashom. That's where all the heavy burdens and all the suffering comes from. And he's going to explain now. Ki kol ha'isurim chas v'sholom hein bechinas machloikis. All kinds of suffering is based on machloikis. What is machloikis? Differences. We have a difference of opinion. We have a difference of this one likes hot, this one likes cold. This kinim shochim mi machloikis hayesoidois ze im ze. For example, physical illness. What does it come from? It comes from the machloikis that's taking place between the basic elements in the body. Fire, water, air, and dust. Vehem keneged das odom, and they go against the will of the person. Sheha odom roitze shiakach kirtzoinoi shisnag leikaseder. The person wants that things should go in this manner. It should go beseder, you know, in the right way. Vehem oimdim kenegdoi v'cholkenolov, and they rise up against him and they battle against him. Umisnagim sheloiker at Sinai, and they conduct themselves different from his will. V'chol ma shehashinui godol bi'oiser, And the more different it is from what he wants, keneged ritzonoi, hayisurim gedolim b'yosech Hashem, the more suffering he experiences. If a person wants to have normal temperature, 98.6, and the yesoid ha'esh inside his body decides that, no, I want to go a little more than my norm, and the person develops a high fever, suddenly the person is sick and suffering because there isn't an achdus, there isn't the right, the proper balance and unity between the basic elements inside of it. Same thing as the water, same thing as with the air, you know, in any of these cases. It all originates from the person being poigame in this concept. Shelo hishtadel lahamshich hasimcha v'hanaychol shel Shabbos leimei achoyim. The person didn't try enough and succeed enough at drawing the simcha and the rest of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. The simcha and rest represent the holiness of Shabbos. Drawing that into the 6 days of the week. And therefore, he did not bring forth a revelation of this oneness from the many. Because based on the fact that all of these different things are all actually drawing from one source, they're all drawing from one origin, it would be normal for everything to go beseder. Lahavdil, you have a company, you have a chairman of the board, and you have the board, and you have the guys under them. If everybody is taking their orders from the top, and if everybody is agreed, if they all agree that the foundation of this company is the chairman of the board, then there's achdus. Then despite the fact that they might have differences, the eight guys on the board could have different attitudes towards things, but they're always plugging into that numero uno, to the one guy on top, who has one ratzon, and they'll work a way to blend their differences to merge with his oneness, that kind of concept. That's if all the different guys are plugged into one. If they're not, or to the extent that they're not, that's where you have machloikis and all kinds of things that break out. Kikifi haseder shenimsha hachius me'echod aposhut l'chol apulois mishtanois roi she'esnag hakoel kaseder. Because based on this seder, that all of these different things are all originating from oneness and drawing their chiyus from oneness, it's logical that everything should flow well and smoothly. Ki me'ito yizborach lo yibotzer kol toiv. Because from Hashem, there's no good lacking. Hashem is all good. V'hu barachma v'yizborach boroi lomay l'toivo. And Hashem created the world with good intentions. She'yi animshach hachiyos me'achdusay aposhut l'chol apulois mishtanois. That life should be drawn from Hashem into, should be infused into all of these different things. L'chol pula pula koroi k'seida l'toivo. That the life force should flow from Hashem into all of these things based on the seder that Hashem knows is best for it. Rak machmas shehakol nivra b'shvil ha-bechira shel odom. However, because of the fact that everything was created for the sake of bechira, that people should have free choice, shekifi emunosoy ha-shlema, whereby based on a person's faith in Hashem, to the extent that a person is zoche to 100% faith, ukefi masov, and to the extent and based on a person's deeds, kein mamshich hachius me'achdus aposhut l'chol hapulos mishtanois l'toiv oy lehepechasishon. See, based on the concept of bechira, Hashem has set things up in such a way where you have the ability, based on your beliefs and based on your actions, to control, to determine whether this flow of energy that's coming from Hashem into all the different creations, whether it's plus or minus, whether it's to do good or to destroy, that you can determine based on your actions. What do you want to say? that based on the fact that the reason Hashem made the Bria was for Bechira, He gave us control that we can push whichever button we want. The energy is going to flow from Hashem, from Achdus HaPoshut, into Bulois Mishtanois. And even though Hashem is Toiv, and therefore by law, by right, the only thing that should possibly be able to flow from Hashem into these things should only be Toiv, but in order for there to be a Bechira, where you're given good and bad to choose from, and the choice that you make has major effects, Hashem has given us the ability, literally, to change the sign from a plus sign to a minus sign, or from a minus sign to a plus sign, on this energy that's flowing from the Achdus HaPoshut into the Pulois Mishtanos. V'alkein, Iker HaTikken Al Yidei Shabbos. And that's why the main tikkun is based on Shabbos. She'oz shviso v'naicho. Then there's rest. Shaydei Shabbos, al yidei shemamshichem kedusha Shabbos l'imei achoil. When a Jew is able to draw the holiness of Shabbos into the weekdays, al yidei ze nizgale achdus haposhut mitoich hapulois mishtanois. There, he's taking the 6 days of the week, which represent all of these differences, and he's bringing forth from them the Achdus HaPoshut. V'oz misnaheg hakoil keseder. And then, if once the person is able to realize during the 6 days that he can feel Shabbos during the 6 days of the week, that means he can feel the oneness even during the non-oneness, even in the confusion, in the machloikas. Kimi Shabbos nimshach bechinas shvisa v'naicha gam lechol hapu'ulois mishtanois sho'isim b'me'achoyl, because from Shabbos there is drawn a rest and a peacefulness, a calm to all of these pu'ulois mishtanois which do things during the week. Lahamtik ulevatel bechinas ho'atzvus v'ha'avdus ha'koshe me'uvdin d'choyl. This restfulness that's drawn from Shabbos is able to sweeten and remove the depression and the labor, the hard labor from all the activity of the weekdays. Sheyu nasim lekol ha'asokim v'chol ha'asiyos kiseder b'li yegiyav avoda kosher, whereby all the activity that the person does during the week should go smoothly without struggle, just like on Shabbos. A person receives his parnasa without any work at all, without any struggle at all. If a person can draw Shabbos into the weekdays, he can eliminate the struggle and stress and depression from the weekdays and have the weekdays flow on Shabbos energy, that kind of thing, that Achdus HaPoshut. Aval kol echod kefi apegam shepoigim bozeh. However, each and every individual, to the extent that he doesn't succeed in this, that he doesn't connect she'enoi mishtadei laham shechdusha Shabbos l'me'achoyl, to the extent that he doesn't put in effort on drawing Shabbos into the weekdays, ve'enoi megale achdus haposhut mitoich hapulois mishtanois, he does not reveal the oneness within the pulois mishtanois. For example, a person who goes to work during the weekdays and doesn't say that it's all coming from Hashem, but rather he says, this action of mine is accomplishing this. This action, if I go to work or don't go to work, that's going to decide exactly how much I have, and you know, etc., etc. Then he's giving the credibility not to Hashem, but to 100 different things. He's saying that his parnasa is based on his clients and him and his machinery. It's based on 400 different things. It's not based on Hashem, but it's based on all kinds of pu'ulois mishtanois. If a person, even during the 6 days of the week, lives on Shabbos energy, whereas emunah is that just like on Shabbos, I have what to eat and what to wear and this and that because it all comes from Hashem, then even during the weekdays, even when I go to work and I carry money, it's still all coming from Hashem. He keeps that thought solid in his mind. He lives during the weekdays with that flavor of Shabbos, that attitude of Shabbos. Then everything will flow the right way. And if not, it goes the other way. So to the extent that he doesn't connect the weekdays and Shabbos, Kein mizgabrim ribui hashinuyim shelapulos mishtanos. Then there become more and more differences, more and more pulos mishtanos. Ve'eino misnagim keseder, and it doesn't flow smoothly. Umishom kol ha'yisurim chasvishon. And that's the cause and the origin of all suffering. Shein bechinas masois, which is a concept of burdens. Shein bechinas machloikis, which is the concept of divisiveness. When there's divisiveness, then it's a heavy load to carry. If you want to run a house, if everybody in the house thinks alike, they're all on one track, then the house flows smoothly. Everybody's feeding into the same direction. But the minute there's two different energies working in that house, one person's pulling in one direction, the other one's pulling in a different direction, suddenly it becomes a heavy burden. You can't pull it. It becomes too heavy to pull. Because when they're not, or lahafil, you have a wagon. You have two horses pulling the wagon. If they're both pulling in the same direction, no problem. They both try pulling a little bit in different directions. Where's that wagon going to go? It becomes an overwhelming burden. It's immovable. Why? Because there's pulois mishtanois, which are not being nichlal in achdus haposhut. That's the message that we're being given here. And here he's introducing it. He's going to give us a lot more detail on this, Mitzvah Hashem, as we continue. Baruch Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal says, we're continuing page 61, the left-hand column, five lines down from the top. V'zeh b'chinas ki sirech hamoyer soynacho, roivetz tachas masoi. This is what it refers to when the Pasuk says that you will see the donkey of your enemy crumbling under its heavy burden. Shehamasui kvedolo, the burden is too heavy on him. V'ho'odom yeshlo yisurim yizeh, and the person is suffering as a result of this. The owner is suffering. Shekol zeh nimshach mipigam hanal, all of this is based on the defect that we spoke about earlier, shu pigam hamachloikis, which is the pigam of disputes, shehu bechinas pigam Shabbos. It comes as a result of a person not being able to bring the kiddush of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. Shabbos represents unity, Hashem Echad, and the 6 days of the week represent disunity, kosher, posel, tomei, tohor, osur, mutter, the 6 days of the week. Ki b'Shabbos k'siv leman yonuach shorcho v'chamorcho kamoicho. That on about Shabbos, the Pasuk says that your ox and your donkey should rest like you. V'omer azal, and the Gemara says on that Pasuk, ten loy nayach, give him rest. U'mishom nimshach naicho al ashor v'chamor. And it's from the Shabbos that there is drawn a feeling of rest and calmness on the ox and the donkey. Ukiyoitze gambi me'achoel. And the same thing holds true during the weekdays. Shafilu kishe oisim boem malocho, loitehe amalocho kveda leem yoisimidai. So that it's through the kiddush of Shabbos that it becomes possible that even when the ox and donkey work during the weekdays, the work doesn't overwhelm them, it doesn't crush them. Ukemavur le'el, as was explained earlier, shetzrichin lahamshich kedusha Shabbos le'me'achol kanal. That one of the main things that a yid has to accomplish is to draw the holiness of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. V'alkein kishabehem oroivetzes tachas maso. Therefore, when we observe an animal buckling under its heavy burden, that's coming from a defect in the Shabbos. A person has been poigim in Shabbos. Because Shabbos represents rest, calmness, feeling good. To the extent that a person perfects the Shabbos, that calmness and restfulness extends into the 6 days of the week also. But if you see that on Wednesday or on Monday, you see your friend's donkey crumbling under its load, the implication is that there's a pigam in Shabbos, that he was the person was poigim in Shabbos, and therefore is not able to transfer that restfulness and calmness of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. Shehu bechinas pigam hamachloikis kanal, which we said earlier represents the pigam of machloikis. Alkein his hirakosuv. Therefore, the pasuk says, what's the solution for this? Sheyazoiv hasino shebeliboy al chaveroi. The person that witnesses this should eliminate the hate that they have in their heart towards this other person with the donkey. Kama shekosuv ozoiv tazoiv. And the targum says, mishbak tashbiklei. Remove from your heart the negative feelings. V'tefarek ime, and help him unload his animal. Ki ikur ho aziva v'ho ezro sho izro binyan amasui hu al yidei azivas hasino ubakosho so'avo. Because the main help that you're giving to this person in dealing with his problem with his animal is by removing the hate from your heart and replacing it with love. That's the main solution, because that's the main problem. Rav Nosson Zal is saying, when we see somebody's animal struggling with a burden, it's not just what we see in front of our eyes. That's been caused by something. That's been caused by a lack of connection between Shabbos and the 6 days of the week. It's been caused by a concept of machloikis. Hainu, al yidei bitul hamachloikis v'shinu yadeos, by eliminating machloikis and differences of opinion, shaydezeh nichlol in kiechot, by doing that, we're zeichet to all become unified, bebechinas achtus haposhut, in a simple unity, kimavur leil, as was explained earlier, shekol mashi Yisrael nichlolim yachad biyoyser avov reyus, that to the extent that Jews succeed at unifying together with a feeling of friendship and love, nizgale yoiser bechinas achtus haposhut mitoich pulois mishtanois. That's what gives them the ability to reveal the oneness of Hashem, even coming from all kinds of different things. Shezeo bechinas kedusha Shabbos, shaydezem is battling kol kvedas hamasois v'chol isurim kinim shachnaich olakoyo. That's represented by the holiness of Shabbos, through which all the heaviness of burdens and all the suffering is eliminated, because there is drawn a rest, a naicha, on everything. Go ahead.
Question: when you said before that when you see the donkey as your friend with the masori, it's assuming that the Shabbos wasn't, you didn't bring the Shabbos into the chol. That's talking about. In other words, the person who's seeing is this spoken about the person who's seeing the donkey loaded, or is this the person who has the donkey who's burdened down?
It could be both. It's generally referring to the one whose donkey is crumbling. The fact that you see him going through that struggle is a result of this pigam, of the separation between the Achtus HaPoshut and the Pulois Mishtanais. But the one that we have the rule of the Baal Shem Tov, who says that whenever you see a crime being committed, the implication is that you're part of that also. That's why we're being told here that you can't ignore it, you gotta go help fix it. Because the fact that you witnessed it implies that you're in a position to fix it. Because could be the machloikis, the state of machloikis that this person's in, is related bedafka to you. Because it says, chamor sainacho, you're his enemy. Could be the reason why his animal is crumbling is because of the sinner that he's carrying on with you. Because of the hate that exists between both of you. And if you'll change that picture by you making peace with him and going over to him to help him with his animal, by doing that you're going to fix the sinner. You're going to eliminate the machlekes. If there's no machlekes, then Shabbos and the 6 days of the week can blend together, can work together, and the Achdus of Hashem can be revealed from the Pulois Mishtanos, and then there's no heaviness. Then that Naicha of Shabbos, that Menucha of Shabbos, spreads out and affects the 6 days of the week also. Exactly. Now, I'm telling you, Rav Nosson Zal seems to, and the Chumash seems to be emphasizing, that it's the problem of the one whose donkey it is. However, the fact that the other person is seeing it implies, number one, that he's in a position to help the other person fix the problem. That's number one. And number two, could be also the fact that I'm witnessing it implies that I'm part of that problem.
We're saying the donkey has a burden.
Yes.
The owner of the donkey is also burdened, is also suffering.
The fact that the donkey is struggling with its burden is a reflection on the owner of the donkey, who's struggling with his donkey and its burden, for sure.
So does that include, like, when we witness Chil Shabbos Rosh Hashanah?
Yes.
So that we're implicated.
There's a famous story with one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov. Again, nowadays, even in Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh, you get to see Chil Shabbos pretty regularly, unfortunately. But in those days, people that lived in these shtetls, there were places where you could go for years without seeing Chil Shabbos. One of the students of the Baal Shem Tov once saw somebody being Mechal Shabbos, and he was shocked because he couldn't, you know, because he had heard what his Rebbe had told him, and he couldn't remember whatsoever any time that he had been Mechal Shabbos. He said, "Why was I forced to see this?"
That was with Baal Shem Tov himself.
No, it's not as far as the way I heard it. So the Baal Shem Tov explained to him, "You should know the reason why you witnessed this is because you were once present while somebody insulted a Talmud Chacham. And a Talmud Chacham is called the Shabbos also." We find that the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said to him, "Antu Shabbos the Kula Yoimi, you are the Shabbos. We, your six students, are like the 6 days of the week, which draw their bracha from the Shabbos. You, the Rebbe, are the Shabbos. So because you witnessed a Talmud Chacham being insulted and you didn't do anything about it, it's as if you participated in Chil Shabbos. That's why you were shown that by seeing actually somebody do a physical Chil Shabbos. That you have to do tshuva for that issue."